President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Good morning.
Senate will come to order.
Good morning, Mr. President. I'd like to impose a call to the Senate.
Senate's under call.
Further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Senator Kathy Sharon for Pastor Don Roberts, and then remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning. On your desks, you'll see that there is an article from the Mankato Free Press. I want to draw your attention to that because it's in reference to Pastor Don Roberts, who I invited to prepare this prayer for us this morning. You might be interested to know that Pastor Don Roberts has ALS, which is commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. He's completely paralyzed with the exception of his ability to move his eyes and to lift his eyebrows. But what he does is write prayers for his congregation still and sermons, and he does this by using a letter board. His eyes are fixed on a letter which are read out loud, and he confirms that the correct word is being printed by moving his eyebrows up and down. So if you read his story in that newspaper, you'll find it interesting, and he agreed to write this prayer for us this morning. We thank you for the people we serve. Strengthen us to serve them well. Guide each of us in the decisions we make on their behalf. Give each of us the courage to do what is right. Give each of us the courage to know with wisdom what is right to do. We thank you for this opportunity to serve. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Turn around to Kathy here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. Thank you very much. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebretson, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. Okay. First order of business is executive and official communications on today's agenda. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of committees printed in the agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions today, and one to be read at the desk.
Senator Langseth moves that the names of Senators Day, Coring, Pappas, and Tomasoni be added as co-authors to Senate file number 781.
Without objection, we'll take these motions as one motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Berglund, do you have a motion to be read?
I move that Senate File 633, number 24 on general orders, be stricken and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay. On the Berglund motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There's one resolution on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolution will be referred to the Rules Committee. The next order of business is the calendar. There will be four votes taken here, so maybe you want to sit still and vote for these, for these bills or against these bills. We're remaining on motions. Do I get us into the calendar? Without objection, we'll take up the calendar. The first bill on the calendar, Senate File 685, this is a Dibble bill. Secretary, give the bill. It's third reading.
Senate File 685, a bill for an act relating to health, occupation, licensing, respiratory therapists, etc.
Discussion. Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 685. I think we're going to wait. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary, we'll close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 4 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar, Senate File 887. This is a Senator Scoy bill. Secretary will report. Give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 887, a bill for an act relating to transportation, establishing a portion of Trunk Highway 200 as the Veterans Memorial Highway.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The third bill on the Senate calendar is Senate File 265, this Senator Kelosh bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 265, a bill for an act relating to public safety requiring crime alerts to be distributed in a format that disabled citizens can access.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill on the calendar be Senate File 978. This is a Senator Erickson Ropes bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 978, a bill for an act relating to human services, changing the requirements for shaken baby syndrome training and licensed child care and child foster care programs.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 63 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next order of business will be the consent calendar. There are five bills on the consent calendar. Just move right in. Yeah. First bill on the consent calendar, Senate File 32, Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, Senate File 32 is a bill that adds language to the election judge portion of statute, talking about when election judges are sworn in on election day or on primary election day before they are, they actually are sworn in each time there's an election. They solemnly swear they will perform the duties of an election judge. Thank you, Mr. President. And there is a general statute that says wherever you may swear, you may also affirm. But when it comes to the election judge section of the law, it only says, uses the word swear. So this just makes it clear, if a city clerk or an election official is looking at that oath, that if a person comes to be an election judge and would rather affirm, and that's generally due to religious reasons, rather than swear the oath, that that's acceptable. And this just makes it just clarifies.
Any further discussion on Senate File number 32? Secretary will give Senate File 32 its third reading.
Senate File 32, a bill for an act relating to elections, clarifying that election judge may affirm oath.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 1 nay, bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next bill on the consent calendar, the Senate file 423, this is Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, thank you. This has to do with what we claim is non-campaign disbursements on our campaign finance reporting. Currently, it is a non-campaign disbursement when you pay for food, beverages, entertainment, and facility rental for a fundraiser you might be holding. We add necessary utensils and supplies to this bill and to that section, that food, beverages, other expenses for a fundraising event. It just made sense, and the campaign finance board testified that they welcome this clarification. So appreciate your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 423. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 423, a bill for an act relating to campaign finance specifying certain items as non-campaign disbursements.
Secretary will take the roll. Pat. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next bill on the consent calendar will be Senate File 404. This is Senator Wieger. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 404 relates to insurance. It requires that an applicant for homeowner's insurance get a written notice indicating that the insurer has a right to cancel within 60 days.
Discussion. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 404, a bill for an act relating to insurance requiring a notice to applicants for homeowner's insurance.
Secretary will take the roll. Okay. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. Be it 64 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed, its title agreed to. The next bill on the consent calendar is number 743. This is a Senator Dahl bill. Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate file number 743 just makes technical changes to update the American Society for Testing and Materials, ASTM, motor fuel specifications for the purpose of regulation by the Department of Commerce Weights and Measures Division. And this bill simply brings Minnesota law up to date with the ASTM guidelines. These are only minor changes to each regulation, will have little or no effect on everyday citizens.
Further discussion? Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file 743, a bill for enacting relating to commerce, weights and measures, updating petroleum standards, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators have voted. Desire to vote? Secretary will close the roll. Be it 63 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The last bill on the consent calendar, Senate file 236, is a Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members, Senate file 236 establishes a Medal of Honor Day in Minnesota as March 25th. President Abraham Lincoln created the Medal of Honor, and the first one was presented on March 25th, 1863, 146 years ago. This year, on March 25th, we would like to see March 25th confirmed as the Minnesota Medal of Honor Day to match the U.S. Medal of Honor Day. That bill was passed in the U.S. Congress in 2007 and signed into law on March 25, 2007. On March 25, 2009, there will be a plaque dedicated at the Minnesota Veterans Memorial to commemorate that day and to commemorate the Medal of Honor Day in Minnesota. So, Mr. President, members, I urge your support. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file 236, a bill for enacting relating to state government designating March 25th as Medal of Honor Day, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Without objection, remaining under motions, we'll take up Senate bill introductions and first reading. There are three changes, one on page 4. Senate file 1513 to be sent to the Finance Committee. And on page 5, Senate File 1518 to the Agriculture and Veterans Committee. And on page 9, Senate File 1564 will be sent to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, members, we're going to take a brief 10-minute recess. I did not plan as well as Senator Senjum, who had his caucus before session. We're going to have just a brief caucus in the retiring room for the majority caucus, and we'll keep it to about 10 minutes. And the plan is to come back, special order the bonding bill, Senator Langseth's bill, and then on general orders, take up Senator Bonhoff's shared services bill, and depending on the time frame, we would take up a few other general orders, but we do have committee meetings this afternoon, at 12:30. So, Mr. Chair, I'd move a brief recess to the call of the chair.
On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, Senator Senjum, before
Mr.
the motion.
President, Senate Republicans have caucused. Just freelance, get a hamburger, do whatever.
Okay. On the motion to recess, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
At Senate file 781 be made a special order for immediate consideration, and I would yield to Senator Langseth upon that motion.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, this is the bonding bill. The total amount is for GO bonds is $329 million. What we tried to do this year was to make it a jobs bill and to get as many people working as possible. I think there's close to 60% of this bill is in the area of asset preservation. Almost all of that will get done this year. It's ready to go. In the Minsky system, for example, there's 54 different campuses. So this will create jobs quite equally all over the state of Minnesota, and incidentally in most of the Senate districts in the state, particularly in the rural areas. I'll just go through some of the larger items, and then if anybody wants to ask about any of the smaller ones, that's fine. There's $85 million in the higher education asset preservation. $35 million of that is the University of Minnesota, and $50 million is Minsky. Then the Bell Museum is funded at the university. That's their top priority. It's part of their educational system, and it was in the Senate bill last time. There's $11.5 million for an addition to the Health Science Center at Lake Superior Community College, the Technical College. And there's $14 million for the Business and Technology at North Hennepin College, $5.7 million at Metro State, $5.25 million at Mesaba Community and Technical College. There's $26 million for flood hazard mitigation. That is all ready to go and will be spent this summer. And I think in the next 2 weeks, you'll be hearing a lot about floods up in northwestern Minnesota. Then there's $25 million to clean up closed landfills. That isn't part of the GO bonds. It's user finance. And $15 million for local bridge replacement, $8.45 million for the Central Corridor between Minneapolis and St. Paul. This will be the last payment that the state will make on that large project. Then $11 million will go to the Como Zoo, $13 million to expand the St. Cloud Civic Center, and $10 million for the Gillette Children's Hospital. So as I mentioned, you look through the spreadsheet. If you have any questions about some of those projects, feel free to ask it. There are some of those projects that it simply generates a lot of other money. There's a very heavily leveraged, and some of these projects may not seem to be real important, but by coming up with just some money at the state level, it will generate a lot of construction dollars and a lot of work for construction workers. Table 20, this particular sheet, it shows where the state of Minnesota is as far as debt per capita. And as you can see on that, it's we're number 43 out of the 50 states. And the U.S. average is more than double what we are. I think Senator Dill had mentioned it in committee. If we pass this bill, we'll go from 43rd place to 43rd place. I like being low. I think that's good. But whether we're, you know, 43rd or 42nd or 44th or whatever, I don't think is that important. And some people have asked about our credit rating. The main thing, I think we're one of seven states that have a AAA credit rating from all of these three bond council agencies or companies or whatever you want to say. And the main thing that they do on their ratings is they look at how the budget of the particular state is. If it's very, very sound, you get a very high rating because that's where the debt service comes from. This particular bill will not affect our credit rating negatively. So I guess with that, I would stand for questions.
Questions on Senate File 781? What is discussion on
Mr. President, I move
a
call of the House, call of the Senate.
Senate's under call.
And I ask for a roll call vote. I guess.
There's got to be a roll call. Special
order. Senator Plankseth.
Okay. Mr. President, I move that the call of the Senate be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absentees.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to know if I could inquire of the author of the bill a couple of questions.
It'd be fine, sure.
Thank you. And Senator, Mr. President, Senator Langseth, one question. You provided this table of the outstanding state debt per capita. Do you have information about what these numbers represent as ratios to, you know, we have a 3% practice here in Minnesota. Do the rest of the states abide by something similar to that, or can you give us any detail about what that ratio would be for these numbers?
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, different states do it differently. In some cases, they do the way we have done it with 3% of the general fund, or, you know, in many cases, it's a higher amount. But in some cases, what they do is they lend it to a percent of the personal income within the state. And if you compare Minnesota to the rest of the states, as far as percent of personal income, we drop even lower than the 43rd.
And Mr. President?
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Langseth. I appreciate your clarification on that. I did want to ask about, you were talking as you were presenting your bill that this was a jobs-related bill, and I want to just question that a little bit, and I know that typically we talk about bonding bills as being vehicles to create jobs, and I know last session we passed a fairly significant bonding bill. I think it was $800 or $900 million, close to $1 billion. How many jobs were created by that bonding bill that we passed last year? Can you tell us?
Mr. Senator. President, Senator Hahn, as I understand, it would be about 10,000 jobs would be created. And many of, there's a number of those that are going full bore now this summer.
Senator Hand.
And Mr. President and Senator Langseth, so last year the nearly $1 billion bonding bill, we created 10,000 jobs. Is that what you're, I just want to clarify that that's what you had said.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, yes, we have been told that a bill of that size would create about 10,000 jobs. And the construction industry is where the huge unemployment is. There's many of these contractors where 70% of their people are laid off.
Senator Hahn.
And so, Mr. President and Senator Langseth, so the current bill that you have, the bonding bill being about a third that size, would that also mean that there'd be about a third as many jobs created then, 3,000 or so?
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, I think it would be more than that because of the emphasis on the bill, with well over half of it being asset preservation, with almost all of that coming this calendar year, and with nearly everything in the projects being all shovel-ready, I would say it would be much, much higher than that. Because with a bill last year, there wasn't the timeline on many of those projects. And as I said, many of them are going full bore this summer. But I think this would go much, much faster. And you can kind of tell that in what they've estimated on the debt service for this biennium. Normally, the debt service would have been about $14 million, but they put it at, I think it's $23 or $24 million, simply because there would... it would be done so much faster. So I would think that probably it would be more in the area of 5,000 jobs.
Another hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Langseth. And members, I was trying to clarify this because this is something that we talk about frequently with bonding bills, that these things create jobs. I don't know, and I have not seen any data that would confirm that there's been any number of jobs created by any bonding bill that we've passed. Now, maybe there is data. I have not seen it. I think that there are ways that people can extrapolate or make estimates and so forth. But for purposes of the current bill, to say that, we're going to create jobs, that would mean that all the people that are unemployed would begin to have jobs as a result of this bill, and I'm not certain that that's the case. I think in many cases, these are people who are already employed doing other things that would then have additional work to do, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I'm not sure that you can say that these things create jobs. Secondly, members, I think that there's some question in my mind of why we are doing this now, even though it's a rather modest $300,000 bonding bill. We've had bonding bills almost every year in the 6 years I've been here. We don't seem to have built up an accumulation of jobs from those bills. Right now we're in a position where we've lost a number of jobs. So I don't know that there isn't a relationship, but we're clearly borrowing money. We're already over our 3% traditional limit. We're going to borrow more money. We're going to raise taxes by $2 billion, and we're going to spend the money on the bonding bill doing many things, some of which might be arguably good, some of them may be questionable. But I really have to question the timing of this, members, and why we would take this up at this point in our economy when we are struggling, and why we would say, let's go out and raise taxes $2 billion, let's spend another $300 million and go into debt even more. I just am not sure that I see the logic of this, and I just, Senator Langseth, would urge reconsideration of this bill.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, our state economist, Mr. Stinson, has urged that we pass a bonding bill this year. And one thing I haven't mentioned is that when it comes to these slow times economically, we get much more for our money. I was talking to somebody who said that on that project up at Duluth, when it comes to the pilings, they thought it was going to cost about $38 a foot, and it's $26 a foot. It's down 30% from what it was expected to be. And many people have said that they expect their projects to come in like 20% below. So we the money goes a whole lot further, and it puts people to work that aren't working.
Further discussion? Senator Hamm. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A-16 amendment.
Secretary will report the Roebling A-16 amendment.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate File 781 as follows. Page 2, delete Section 2 and insert. This is Amendment A-16.
Senator Roebling on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've talked about this in several committees, and I decided to do something more than talk, and that would be to offer an amendment. What this amendment does, members, is it takes the money from the Bell Museum proposal and adds it to the University of Minnesota Asset Preservation and Replacement, the HEPR account. And let me explain why I think this is important. First of all, we are in an economic time where we should be facing and focusing on needs more than wants. And in my opinion, a new museum right now is more of a need, or more of a want than a need. We know that we have to take care of the buildings that we currently have in place. We need to preserve them. We should always put that first and foremost before we start building new ones. The University of Minnesota over the years has told us repeatedly that they have $90 million to $100 million worth of asset preservation needs. And yet, this bill addresses just a small percentage of that. But if we add the $25 million that is proposed for a new Bell Museum to it, we will actually come up with $59 million for asset preservation. Now, there's two reasons to do this right now. One that I think is very good is I believe that doing the asset preservation actually will create more jobs than constructing a new building, because asset preservation is more labor intense, and that's what we want. We want labor right now, probably even more than materials, especially materials that may not be manufactured here in Minnesota. We need jobs. And I think that asset preservation will help do that. The other thing that we gain when we do some replacement and preservation is that we gain energy efficiencies. Think of it, members. When you do window replacements, when you take these buildings that are often 50 years old on the university campuses and put in new windows, you have energy savings. When you put in insulation and roofs, you have energy savings. When you put in new heating and air conditioning systems, you have energy savings. When you put in more efficient and safer elevators, you can have energy savings. You can put in new lighting, which is certainly much more efficient than the current lighting systems that many of these buildings have. It creates energy savings. Tuck pointing is another big part of our asset preservations. We have all of these beautiful old brick buildings, but some of them are crumbling. We have a responsibility to preserve those buildings first and foremost before we build another new one. We have a Bell Museum of Natural History. It may not have all the bells and whistles that some people would like, but we have one. And whether or not we should replace that right now is very questionable to me. So members, I'm asking you to think seriously about this. I believe that that money would be much better used, and it would be used more around the state, because we have campuses, University of Minnesota campuses around the state. The Bell Museum money would all be used in the metro area here. But the other money could be used on the Duluth campus, the Morris campus, the Crookston campus, Rochester campus perhaps. It would be spread around more. So I really encourage you to consider this amendment and give it your support.
We're on the A-16 Roebling Amendment. Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members, I do oppose this. We did $35 million in asset preservation last year for the U, $35 million this year. And I asked them early on how much of asset preservation was ready for this year and would most likely be done this year, and they said $35 million. So I do oppose the amendment. I understand what Senator Roebling is saying, but I do oppose the amendment.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Langseth, and I'm on the Higher Ed Committee, and I know that the U of M has come in and has told us, even with the money that we gave them last year for asset preservation, they still have about $90 million worth of projects on their list. And I can't help but believe that most of those could be geared up relatively quickly, especially with the labor force available to do the jobs. And so I really think it's the better use of the money right now, and I'd like to ask for a roll call vote.
Be a roll call. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to remind members that the Bell Museum is the state's natural history museum. It's a statewide museum that is badly in need of a new home. and this is the University of Minnesota's number one priority for new building projects. And let's remember that all those construction tradespeople who are out of work will also get jobs building this building, just like they will in the renovation proposals that are also in this bill for the University of Minnesota. So this is about jobs and about moving forward on a project that will serve the entire state. So I would oppose the amendment.
Secretary will take the roll on the Roebling A-16 amendment. The Senate is under call. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 25 ayes and 39 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion, Senator Saltzman.
Mr. President, I would like to move the A-18 amendment.
Secretary will What's the name on this?
It's the Vanderveer Amendment.
Okay. Secretary will report the Saltzman A-18 Amendment.
Senator Saltzman moves to amend Senate File 781 as follows. Page 9 after line 12, insert. This is Amendment A-18.
Senator Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. The A-18 amendment would put a specific line item in the bonding bill of $650,000 under the flood mitigation program to pre-design, design, and begin construction on the Stillwater Flood Control Project. This project has been in the works for a number of years, and those of you who have seen the flood damage that have really had an impact on the birthplace of Minnesota is very damaging. This project now is moving forward because of the federal dollars and flood mitigation control. The city has been working with the Corps of Engineers, and it's very important that the state dollars be there. Now, what's important to note is that because of the additional federal dollars and some investments by the city, the state portion has been cut in half from previous year's needs. So I would just like to ask for members' support on this amendment, and I have worked with Senator Vanderveer on this very important project.
Senator Vanderveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's important to note that this does not add to the bonding bill. It's using money that's already in there designated for these type of projects. It just makes that specific, so it's not increasing the size of the bill. Appreciate your support, members.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, normally we don't designate. We put a list there, and then they draw out of the fund we set up, which this year would be $26 million. I think last year we did it with one. The reason I'll go along with this one is that there's several million dollars federal money involved in this, and for $650,000 state money, I think there'd be something like a 9 or 10 to 1 match. And since this is mainly a jobs bill, we'll be able to get a lot of jobs for a fairly small amount of money. So I do support it.
Further discussion on the A-18 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion, Senator Murphy. Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, I have the A-17 amendment.
Secretary will report the Murphy A-17 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves to amend Senate File 781 as follows. Page 14, line 16. This is Amendment A-17.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, this changes the title on the high-speed rail line to conform with the Federal Register. Doesn't talk about the St. Paul line. It talks about the Minneapolis-St. Paul line, and in the amendment we're using Twin Cities to designate Minneapolis-St. Paul. And then the other line is just clarifying that the depot must be, when it's redone, it has to allow for access on high-speed line to the west.
Discussion on the Murphy A-17 amendment. Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Murphy yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator Vandiver.
Senator Murphy, what is the definition of high speed in this context?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, Senator Vandiver, I'm getting a lot of good advice from over here, but it's actually in federal regulations, it's high speed is designated. It talks about different ranges, but basically anything over 100 miles an hour is what they consider high speed.
We're on Senator Day.
Mr. President, Senator Vandiver, it would take 5.5 hours to get to Chicago.
On the Murphy motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Further discussion, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A-14 amendment.
Secretary will report the Roebling A-14 amendment. Senator
Roebling moves to amend Senate File 781 as follows. Page 18, delete lines 17 to 21. Reletter the paragraphs in sequence. Page 26. This is Amendment A-14.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, what this amendment does is it places a priority on housing for people. It takes the money that would be for the exhibit for the polar bears at Como Park Zoo and gives it to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to provide emergency shelter for people who are homeless or in transition. And I have to say that during the last year and a half, I served on the Commission to End Poverty by 2020. And one of the main things we found as we toured around the state is that one of the first and primary ways to end poverty is to provide stable housing. And right now, members, this state doesn't have enough stable housing. Lines are long, even at the homeless shelters, where people are coming in for just one night. And we have a problem, and this bill does nothing to address it as it currently stands. And I find that troubling, that our priority would be for homes for polar bears before homes for housing, for people. And I really believe, and I'm very sincere about this, that this is where some of our priority should be, is in this program for the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. We have given money to this program in bonding bills of the past, and I really would like to encourage you to support this as a priority, to have the Senate say it is a priority to house people over polar bears. And it's the right message to give to the wider community in our state, too. And it's critical for those people who are out there seeking shelter and homes during this time when so many have lost their homes through foreclosure or because of job losses or any number of things. And we really are not being responsible in this bill if we do not put some money toward that issue. And so, members, I really encourage you to support this. And, Mr. President, I would like a roll call vote.
Mr. President?
Bureau called. Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I've been told that there's about $38 million in this federal stimulus bill for housing. And we have always been quite generous with housing from the state level. But when we found out there was that much money coming from the stimulus, we felt that would do it for this year. But, you know, people like to kind of belittle projects for zoos. But I've been to the Como Zoo several times, and what do I see? I see families with little children. And I think this is a very important thing for the state of Minnesota, and I would urge a no vote.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. President. And I also oppose this amendment. Senator Langseth, I was going to talk about the federal stimulus money as well, because Senator Roebling, I hear your deep concern for housing and for energy efficiency. And there's also millions of dollars in the federal stimulus dollars to achieve more energy-efficient homes for low-income people around the state of Minnesota. And you'll be seeing that bill coming out of my committee within just a few weeks. Normally, we weatherize about 4,000 homes in our state in a given year. This year, we're going to have an opportunity with those federal dollars to weatherize 30,000 homes or more in our state to help Minnesotans improve the housing that they live in and save money every month on their energy bills. So we're doing a lot of good work on housing and energy efficiency in many bills this session. Just to mention briefly on the Como Zoo, I just want to remind you of the job numbers on these projects. The first phase of the project, which is trying to complete a project that the state has supported, will have 400 jobs. Well, has the three phases, 400 jobs, 800 jobs by the time the polar bear exhibit is done, and the new exhibit is estimated to create over 1,000 jobs during the next two-year period. So we're talking about jobs for people. This is not just about bears or gorillas. This is about jobs for people. It's also about the 700 different schools around the state that send children to that zoo and the park every year across the state of Minnesota. And, you know, the fact that we have a free zoo and a free park that has those incredible statewide resources is something that is important now more than ever before. When economic times are tough, people don't have a lot of disposable income, but what they will have to be able to attend for free is a beautiful facility that's open to the public around the state, a beautiful zoo that will be open to all Minnesotans at no charge. That's a rare thing across the country, and I appreciate that the state has supported it in the past, and we should continue to do so.
Secretary Senator Blimmer on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. Mr. President, there was reference made to money that was going to be spent in the future, $38 million, I think I heard from Senator Langseth. And I was just wondering if I could ask Senator Langseth the question.
Yes, you can. I don't know if you'll answer it, but you could.
I try my best, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senator Langseth, do you know on average how much money per household would get out of that federal stimulus housing package? Per household? Would it be $200,000 per family to refinance a loan? Do we know?
I don't know. Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, I do not. I just know the overall amount. I haven't looked at the specific amount per household.
Thank you,
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Langseth. We've had state finance packages before. MHFA have used money that we've designated for, let's say, low-income housing. This will be basically split and divided many different ways to the number of households that we will try to help with the stimulus money for housing relief. Let's just take an example of a number. If there's $200,000 per household to help either refinance or purchase or whatever you, whatever is needed. Divide that by a million. That's five families get to get some help per million. If you have nearly 40 million, that's 40 times five. That's only 200 homes. 200 homes are going to equate to the 38 million of this stimulus package. So today we have a choice. We have a choice to prioritize where we're going to be spending this amount of money. We know that 38 million is coming from Senator Langseth's previous discussion. We probably didn't know that it may only help maybe 200 homes. So I think Senator Roebling's suggestion that we should again prioritize, perhaps pause on the polar bear or gorilla thing and put most of that money into helping our families. So I speak in favor of Senator Roebling's bill, and I appreciate her bringing it forward with an eye toward prioritizing our spending.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I am also rising to support Senator Roebling's amendment. I think it does make sense what she's trying to offer. And members, I want to go back to the argument that Senator Anderson was making about the Como Zoo project. And we're throwing a lot of numbers out here about this is jobs, going to create jobs, going to create jobs. But there's something not right with these numbers. Senator Langseth told us earlier on that when we passed the billion-dollar bonding bill last year, it was 10,000 jobs. And so if you just do the math, roughly this is 3,000 jobs. Now, he said maybe it's a little bit more than that. I don't think anybody really knows. But what Senator Anderson was talking about was for this one project alone, there's going to be over 2,000 jobs created. And this is a fraction of the money. So I don't know where these numbers are coming from. I'm getting the impression they're just being pulled out of thin air that says, here, there's going to be a bunch of jobs here. You can't create a job. If somebody's already working and you're going to give money to a project, they're going to keep working and doing more of it, that's not creating a job. We're also going to take $300 million out of the private sector economy that is presumably there being invested or could be invested to create jobs in the private sector. We're going to take all that out and spend all the money building homes for polar bears and fixing up the orchestra hall, and you pick out whatever one you want. I just don't know if we can trust the numbers that this is a job creator of the magnitude that's being talked about here. And again, looking at the economy, looking at the tax increases that are being proposed by the majority, looking at the struggle that private economy is having to take this amount of money out at this time on the argument that some massive amount of jobs are going to be created, I think is specious. So I support Senator Roebling's amendment because I think you're taking at least a portion of this bill that is likely going to pass and directing it to something that has a good purpose. And so I would urge us to support it.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make sure members understand where this $11 million would go if it goes to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. It would be for publicly owned emergency shelters, for publicly owned temporary or transitional housing, for publicly owned permanent rental housing, for persons who have been without a permanent residence either for at least 12 months or on at least four occasions in the last 3 years, or who were at significant risk of lacking a permanent residence for at least 12 months or on at least four occasions in the last 4 years. Members, housing is just so critical to the stability of the families of our state. We know that it makes a huge difference in the success of our children in schools, for example. We know that children who don't have stable housing are less likely to do well in school. There's a lot of benefits that derive from stable housing. And I know it's fun to go to the zoo. I've taken my children to the zoo in past years, and hopefully someday I'll take them, my grandchildren, to the zoo. But that's something that's nice to have. Housing for families is necessary to have, and there are some families that absolutely need more permanent housing. And I'm afraid the money that we have available to help in today's economic climate is not enough, and this would add and help that situation.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, just a final comment. If you put 1,000 people to work, that's about housing. That's about people saving their homes. That's about people bringing home a paycheck and being able to keep their home from foreclosure and pay their rent. That's a heck of a lot better for people than sending them to a homeless shelter. So let's put people to work so they can protect their housing.
Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Roebling, I wish that you had pick on someone else other than the Como Zoo, because I would have voted for your amendment. I think that it's compelling. You make it's a great amendment. So we've been fighting for a long time to get the Como Zoo completed. And during these hard economic times, you know, it's the only place where parents can take their children, where they don't have to pay a lot. Even for places that we have here, you know, I have young children, and to take them to the Science Museum or the Children's Museum or even the Minnesota Zoo is very cost prohibitive these days. And the Como Zoo really is almost the last place where people from all over can come and bring their family and be able to feel like they can go someplace where they can afford it. And for us to be able to provide those amenities will cost us, but I think in the long run, it is our way of helping parents. And I wish you would read your amendment and maybe pick on someone else other than the Como Zoo, and I would support you. Thank you.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to point out, Senator Anderson, that if you spend $11 million for construction of anything, it creates similar numbers of jobs. So whether it's for housing or for a zoo exhibit, it should create similar numbers of jobs. And so we still will have job creation with the proposal as I'm putting it before the body.
Further discussion on the Roebling motion to amend. Seeing none, a roll call has been requested. The secretary will take the roll.
All senators voting that desire to vote.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
I believe most everybody's not here, so I move those not voting be excused from voting. Who's here? Where is she?
Roll call has been requested on Senator Pogamiller's motion to close the board. The secretary will call the roll.
Anderson.
Yes.
Anderson.
Members, the vote is on the Pogamiller motion to close the board. A yes vote closes the board. A no vote leaves it open.
Anderson. Bach absent. Berglund. Betzold.
Yes.
Bonoff. Carlson.
Yes.
Chaudhry.
Yes.
Clark.
Yes.
Clark.
Yes.
Cohen.
Yes.
Dahl. Kevin. Day. Dibble.
Yes.
Dill.
No.
Dahl. John.
Yes.
Erickson Ropes. Fishbach.
No.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Foley. Fredrickson. Gerlach.
No.
Gimsey.
No.
Han.
No.
Higgins.
Yes.
Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Jungbauer.
No.
Kielash.
Yes.
Koch.
No.
Coring.
No.
Kubli.
Yes.
Langseth.
Yes.
Latz.
Yes.
Limmer.
Yes.
Laurie.
Yes.
Lynch.
Yes.
Marty.
Yes.
Metzen.
Yes.
Michelle. Moi.
Yes.
Murphy.
Aye.
Olsen.
Yes.
Olson G.
No.
Olson M.
Yes.
Ortman. Absent. Pappas. Absent. Pariseau.
No.
Pogamiller.
Yes.
Bretner Solon.
Yes.
Rest.
Yes.
Roebling.
No.
Rosen.
Yes.
Rummel.
Yes.
Saltzman. Saxhog.
Yes.
Scheid.
Yes.
Senjum.
No.
Sharon.
Yes.
Sieben. Skoy.
Yes.
Skogan.
Yes.
Sparks.
Yes.
Stumpf.
Yes.
Tomasoni.
Yes.
Torres Ray.
Yes.
Vandeveer.
No.
Vickerman.
Yes.
Uyghur.
Yes.
That's why you're supposed to be in your seat.
On a vote of 43-20, the Pogomiller motion does prevail. The secretary will close the roll. There being 31 ayes and 32 nays, the motion does not prevail. Further discussion on Senate File 781. Senator Dahl.
Mr. President, I have the A21 amendment.
The secretary will report the A21 motion to amend.
Mr. President.
Senator Dahl moves to amend Senate File 781 as follows. Page 35 after line 7, insert. This is Amendment A21.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this one shouldn't be quite as controversial or spurring of conversation as the last couple of amendments. What this does is transfer the title of the Apple Valley Transit Center and the land adjoining it that it sits on from the Met Council to the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority. 2005 bonding bill, that was original understanding of the parties that it was supposed to be that way, but a language in that bonding bill was understood after the fact to keep the title in Met Council's hands. They have the two parties have been in consultation with each other, and this is an agreement between the two of them. This is simply language to complete that agreement to move the title of the Apple Valley Transit Station and the real property on it, which it's situated, to the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority. I'd appreciate your support.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you. I want to thank Senator Dahl for bringing this amendment forward. It is an important clarification that we need. It'll affect positively a lot of South Suburban communities that are part of the involved in a lot of different transit projects. So I'd appreciate all members please voting yes on this. Thank you.
Further discussion on the A21 motion to amend. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to thank Senator Dahl and others who have worked on this for couple of years now. I've heard from the interested parties, the Met Council and the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority. This is a good solution to what's been a vexing discussion for some time. So I encourage a vote for this amendment.
On the Dahl motion to amend, further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion, Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to bring up a point of information. I'm not going to offer the amendment, but there is a provision on page 8, lines 7 to 9, that relate to a proposal that was brought up in Senator Chaudhry's Environment Committee. But I want to point out that we need to do something with that provision, and it relates to a lot of the flood mitigation that's going on in the state, but also to a lot of the projects that are funded by LCCMR and consequently the NRCS, which is the National Resource Conservation Programs, which includes CRP and RIM. And so it actually takes in about, I think in 2008 it was about 10,000 acres in central Minnesota. The provision was passed in law in 2007, and it was a provision that said that all of the native prairie restoration that was to take place had to native grasses that were growing within 25 miles of where they were seated or in the same ecoregion. And in committee, in Senator Chaudhry's committee, the testimony that was given was demonstrated that the genetic validity to it did not hold up, and the 25 miles did not hold up because the seeds that have been used for native prairie restorations just did not apply. But consequently, that regulation has cost the state's projects and the federal projects an enormous amount of money, an extra $180 per acre. And so that provision needs to be changed. And I know Senator Anderson and I have discussed it, but we look forward to coming up with an amendment either to eliminate it or to change it so that the state tax dollars are maximized when they go into those types of restorations. And both Bowser and other agencies are very interested in that as well.
Further discussion on Senate File 781, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate Senator Stumpf's comments, and I just wanted to let members know that I believe we have some compromise language that we can bring back to the body soon that will hopefully meet everyone's concerns about this issue. And so I appreciate Senator Stumpf working with me to try to find that compromise.
Further discussion on Senate File 781. Senator Langseth, you have a motion.
Mr. President? Oh.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author yield for a question?
He will yield.
Thank you. Mr. President, Senator Langseth, for the past couple decades, we've had a guideline, this 3% debt capacity guideline. And as I understand it, if you do the math now, because we are in a recession, because our revenues are actually going in reverse, that without a bonding bill this year, we're at about 3.5%. Passage of this bill would push us up to about 3.6. I guess first question is, that are those numbers roughly accurate in your understanding?
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, I believe it's 3.4, and this won't even push it up 0.1%.
Senator Michelle.
Okay, well, thank you, Senator Langseth and Mr. President. So my question then is, if we're going to junk the 3% rule, what is the right number? What is the right number? And indeed, why are we keeping it to 3.4%? Maybe for the sake of jobs, we should go even higher.
Well, Mr. President.
Senator Langseth.
Senator, as I understand, some of the leadership people were talking to these bond people, and they said there was nothing magic about the 3%. They said we'd had very good discipline in the past, and it would be okay to go higher, but there should be some rationale behind it. The rationale is this is the time to bond and build. And I don't think we need to be embarrassed by the 43rd in line. In fact, if you take the percentage of personal income in the state were even much lower than that. It was mentioned by the Commissioner of Finance, Mr. Hansen, that we are a low debt state. We will remain a low debt state.
Senator Michelle.
Well, thank you, Senator Langseth, and thank you, Mr. President. I'm not sure I understand why 3.4% is now something we're comfortable with, but I won't keep pushing on that. I fear what we are doing here. We are going to continue to make promises that we can't keep. We're doing that nationally, and now we're doing it as a state. And Mr. President, we're sending some conflicting messages from the Senate over the last several days. We're going to pass a $300-some million bonding bill. At least we're going to vote to approve that today. We know that, and yet that's just within a couple days of saying we are going to make an across-the-board cut to every piece of state government, 7%. So we're going to cut K-12 7%. And it actually made me think, Senator Anderson, with your discussion about the Como Zoo, those schools aren't going to be able to afford the field trip to the Como Zoo if we're going to cut 7% out of those budgets.
And those moms and dads who want to take the kids to the Como Zoo are going to be looking at a $2 billion tax increase. So we all love to do bonding bills, Mr. President, but this one is too big, it's too early, and we need to take care of the state budget deficit first.
Further discussion on Senate File 781. Senator Ingebrigtsen, you had a motion to make? Okay. Further discussion on Senate File 781. Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 781, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators voting that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes and 8 nays, the bill is passed and its title is agreed to. Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, I move that we lay Senate File 781 on the table.
On the motion to table the bill, all in favor say aye. Opposed. Motion does prevail. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, remaining on the order of motions and resolutions, I move that we take up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed. Motion does prevail.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
I don't have a list. Oh, wait a minute. This is the list. This one. On the motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed. Motion does prevail. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, members, under general orders, I'd like to take up number 32, which is Senate File 10. And that may be the only one, although I'll check with the other authors to see if there's any urgency on the rest of those. But let's take up Senate File number 10. Number 32, I'd yield to Senator Bonhoff.
Senator Bonhoff, Senate File 10. Number 32 on the general orders calendar, Senator Bonhoff.
I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 10 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed. I'm sorry, Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Senate File number 10 is a bill that relates to cooperative purchasing and shared services. So before I get into the actual bill, I'd like to just talk about the subject matter from a philosophic perspective. I remember, it was about two or three years ago sitting down with the superintendent of Minnetonka School Districts. I usually each fall sit down with my superintendents, as I know many of the members do, and I recall sitting in his office one day and asking him his ideas about what we could be doing to make things better. And he said, this is Dr. Dennis Peterson, who was actually this year's superintendent of the year. He said, you know, Senator Bonoff, I have a big idea that nobody's listening to. And I said, Dr. Peterson, what's your big idea? I'll listen. And he said, my big idea is that we ought not to have transportation be as a part of the overall education things that we have to accomplish. Because the fact is, transporting kids around the state has nothing to do with teaching children. And when he told me that, a light bulb went off for me, and I began really a three-year project to look at what else has nothing to do with educating children that we ought to look at how we could do things differently so that more and more of our resources could go towards educating children. I remember 2 years ago spending an entire day at TIES, the regional cooperative, looking at what they did to try and promote efficiencies among school districts. I've talked to several of the other regional cooperatives around the state, wanting to understand exactly what was being done to do some sort of a shared services arrangement, freeing up dollars towards the school districts. In that effort, I began to draft some public policy. Now, we all know that when one person has a good idea, that we're never alone, that in fact there's many other people working on the same thing. And that is true in this case, of course. And so early this fall, I learned that the governor was actually working on the same initiative, that he too had put forward shared services as one of his key initiatives. And so the governor and I began working on this together. And I can tell you that in doing that, the policy that I have drafted is much stronger than it would have been before, because now I've had the good fortune of working with both the Commissioner of Administration and the Commissioner of Education to develop the bill that you have before you. So the bill that you have before you is a reform initiative, and that is important because it's always important that we look at how we do business in the state of Minnesota, but this year, as we confront the enormous deficit, it becomes even more urgent. We must do all that we can to reform the way we conduct business so that we can provide our citizens with the best government that is possible. We cannot look at cuts and raising revenue as the only solutions for the problems we face. We must also look at reform. And so this is an initiative that is about reform. There are two parts to this bill. The first part is a shared, a cooperative purchasing initiative. And what this says is that the school districts for fiscal years 2010, 2011, and 2012 are required to purchase goods and business services when price competitive from state contracts available through the cooperative purchasing vendor, or from intermediate school districts, or from a regional service cooperative, or a regional management information center, and by the way, that's what TIES is called, and that, in fact, the Commissioner of Administration will oversee this effort. So basically what we're saying is that school districts should purchase their goods and services in the most economical way possible. But when I first introduced this, many people were concerned. They were concerned that it was a mandate. They were concerned it would hurt local businesses. They were concerned that it would cut out some of the important initiatives they were already engaged in. And so, in fact, we have listed out several key exemptions. And this is the part that members ought to listen very closely to. We have said that they do not have to follow this mandate for one of four reasons. Number one, there's a lower price for comparable goods or business services available from another vendor. Number two, that the proximity of another vendor materially affects the delivery of a particular good or business service. Number three, that there's an urgent need and that justifies not following this. Or there's a reasonable regional need, and there, you know, all of those communities that are worried about the local vendors, that is covered within that. And in fact, when I complete talking about the bill, I'll offer an amendment that also gives us more exemptions, so that if a school district or a charter school purchases goods or services under these exemptions, then a school rationale must be documented. But in fact, we have removed needing to have an audit review with regard to this. When we were in the Finance Committee, the Commissioner of Administration stated that simply putting a post-it on a purchase order would be documentation enough. So I do believe that we have given the school districts the kind of latitude that they're looking for. The second part of Senate File 10 is regarding shared services consultation services. And there, we're talking about something entirely different. In the work on shared services, it was brought to my attention, actually, by the Deputy Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner Anderson, that Deloitte, a national consulting firm, was working with the state of Pennsylvania on this very initiative. So after having meetings and understanding what they were doing, this part has been added to the bill. Because what's happening all across the nation, and in fact not just in school districts but in major corporations, is that people are understanding the importance of looking at where you can share services from a broad perspective. So for example, perhaps the school districts in my community, Wayzata, Hopkins, Minnetonka, even Orono, they may choose, upon working with a consultant, to do transportation on a regional basis. Perhaps another group of school districts may discover that they could do payroll from a regional perspective. You know, in fact, we don't really know what best ways we could use shared services, and that is why the bill is structured this way. This bill says that a consultant will be engaged by the Department of Education to work with the school districts to develop and create a shared services plan. And that, in fact, this consultant will not even be paid for any work unless, after doing this work, the school district with the consultant identifies that there's been savings. If they do identify there's been savings, then the school district submits that to the Department of Education. Just the amount of savings, after submitted, will then be taken into account. Those savings will be kept within the school district to go towards classroom instruction, and there will be a subtraction of 5% of only the identified savings that the school district has submitted that will go to the consultant. In structuring the initiative this way, we in fact give the power to our school districts. And it's really a great risk for any consultant, because if the school districts say nothing has happened positively, they will not submit any savings, and therefore the consultant will not be paid. I have some documentation about the bill is before you. A couple letters that I'd like to bring to your attention. One of them is a letter from Professor Larry Jacobs. Professor Jacobs contacted my office regarding this bill because he brought it to the attention of the Pew Charitable Trust. The Pew Charitable Trust has been working on the government performance project, and they have tracked management practices by all 50 states and scored them. The Pew Charitable Trust is very interested in this particular legislation. They would like to put a national spotlight on it because they think that during this time when so many states are in a similar situation to Minnesota that this is the kind of government reform that all of the states should be engaged in. It is very possible, and by the way, they contacted our office to find out if, in fact, the bill passed through the Finance Committee and if it would be on the floor today. So they are watching very closely. There may be a possibility for us, in fact, to get additional resources from the Pew Foundation to support this initiative. I know that some of the stakeholders have asked, why don't you just have a line item appropriation for the consultant if it's such a good idea? We don't in this bill because, as we all know, we don't have money in our bill today to fund new initiatives. So I would ask that members take the time to read the letter that Professor Jacobs has written. I would call your attention to, on page 2, some of what he has written. He says, I am especially concerned, though, that ungrounded fears and misunderstandings are clouding the discussion of your proposal. Your bill includes quite significant exemptions to address most of the reasonable questions about the feasibility of shared services in rural communities and the threat of burdensome red tape. It allows school districts and charter schools to buy from vendors who offer lower prices or are closer. They are also allowed to proceed when there's an urgent need or when there's a regional need, which opens the door to taking into account local economic circumstances and businesses. So I won't go through the entire letter. I do recommend that members take the time to read it. I was honored to have Professor Jacobs take the time to write the letter to support this initiative. I've also contacted corporations in our area and have asked whether or not they might be willing to lend some of their expertise as this initiative goes forward, and they have indicated that they would, and I will do that on a more formal basis if this initiative does proceed. So at this time, Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A-12 amendment.
Senator Bonoff has the A-12 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Bonoff moves to amend Senate File 10 as follows. Page 1, line 14. This is Amendment A-12.
Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, the A-12 amendment includes other ways in which school districts and charter schools are able to purchase. Again, I have been approached by many stakeholders with some of their concerns. We had the Ties actually did a survey of all the school districts in the state to understand what kind of shared purchasing was already happening, and I'm very impressed by what the school districts are doing. One of the things that has been most impressive has been in the food area. The Anoka-Hennepin District has a shared purchasing food buying group that many districts in the state are taking advantage of under a joint powers agreement. And then I have learned that there's many other joint powers agreements that exist. And so what this amendment does is, as it lists the original ways that a school district can purchase goods and services, we're including, after discussing the other ways, a joint powers agreement or from an intergovernmental agreement. In addition, members, it was brought to my attention that sometimes school districts choose a particular vendor to buy a good or service from because they think it's a better quality. And so we've also added an exception for that. It says the available goods or business services fail to meet acceptable quality standards. So I do ask for member support today. I understand that school districts do have some concerns, as do several stakeholders. You also have before you a letter from the Minnesota Chamber expressing their support for this initiative. Again, I believe their support is a reflection of the serious times that we are facing, and with their understanding of how businesses all over the country are doing similar kinds of reforms to make sure that we are providing at the very best cost, the highest quality, the services that we need to offer to make sure every child in Minnesota has an excellent, outstanding, and equal education. So with that, I will stand for questions.
On the Bonoff motion to amend, All in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Further discussion on Senate File 10.
Mr. President.
Senator Stump. I'm sorry, Senator Hand. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A50 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A50 amendment.
Senator Hand moves to amend Senate File 10 as follows. Delete everything after enacting clause and insert Section 1. This is Amendment A50.
Senator Hand, on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. And members, I'd like to first recognize the work that Senator Bonhoff and others have done on this idea. And I think that this is a concept, an idea that has been talked about for a while, at least in my recollection, for better than a year. I think that there is clearly something to an idea that gets discussed over a long period of time. And I also would commend Senator Bonhoff on the bill that she originally introduced. I think did have some issues that were very problematic. And she worked with many people, stakeholders and others, to try to make those corrections. And I think she has gone a long way to do that. However, I'm not... My view is that I don't think this is really where we want this to be. And the concerns that I have are she has made a number of exemptions in the bill for how you can not have to be into a shared purchasing agreement. It also tries to make the mandate as undemanding as possible. But the language of the bill is sufficiently vague that it has raised concerns from school districts and others just what will be required to comply with the provisions of the bill. So what I have, members, is an amendment that simply deletes Senate File 10 and replaces it with a very brief statement about cooperative purchasing that makes it permissive. It says a school district or charter school may purchase goods and services when price competitive, etc. But it also says at the end of that paragraph that the Commissioner of Administration shall conduct outreach to school districts and charter schools and encourage and record the use of Minnesota Cooperative Purchasing Venture Service. The idea here is that I think there is an argument to say that there may be many school districts who are not fully aware of all the things that could be available to them. And so this would be, in effect, a mandate, if you will, to the Commissioner of Administration to make sure that school districts know what they can do through purchasing through state offices. It would also require that they keep a record of what is going on so that we would have some greater body of evidence of just what exactly the amount of purchasing and efficiencies that are being taken advantage of already, and there are many, and also what opportunity there may be for further cooperative agreements to be put together. So my amendment is sort of let's take a little time out from going down this path. Let's let this be out there. Let's continue to encourage the voluntary sharing of purchasing, of which there is a great deal. Do some record recording of practices. And if there's need to do more, we can do it at another time. So, members, that's my amendment, and I would appreciate your support, and I'd like to ask for a roll call vote.
A roll call has been requested. Are there three hands for a roll call? Seeing three hands, we will have a roll call. Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, I oppose the Hand Amendment. I will talk about why I oppose it in a moment, but first I want to make sure that Senator Hand knows that the amendment he has proposed does not reflect all of the changes that have been made to the bill as the bill has progressed in terms of where we are encouraging our school districts to buy the latest joint powers agreement, et cetera. So just to let him know that. But I strongly oppose the hand bill. You know, we wouldn't actually need to make a law if we were to enact this because school districts already can do this. As I mentioned, we surveyed all of the school districts across the state, and 75% of them are doing one form of joint purchasing or another. But, you know, it's not very cost-effective to have one form or another going in a non-systematic way without understanding an analysis of best practices. There are some real stars going on around the state. The Southwest purchasing co-op is doing an amazing job of utilizing shared services. We ought to be able to have that initiative looked at in other parts of the state. And then people will say to me, well, they can do that. That's what we'll do. We'll put them on a website. Well, you know what? These school districts are in tough times, and they are being stretched beyond capacity. I remember the Commissioner of Education was asked, couldn't you do this yourself? Why do you need a consultant? Can't you help the school districts? And the Commissioner of Education said, no, I don't have the staff, I don't have the expertise, I don't have the capability to do this myself. Commissioner Badgerow, she's actually spent years studying how to utilize shared services with intergovernmental agencies, and you'll see more bills along this line. But she was asked, do you need the consultant? And she has said that in the initiatives around the country that are taking place around true shared services that go far beyond purchasing, which is what Senator Hahn is trying to limit the bill to only purchasing, but where our real savings are going to come from is not just purchasing, but in being able to investigate where school districts can form in a cooperative fashion regional delivery of services. That is where the real reform and the real opportunity lies. So Commissioner Badgerow said that to her knowledge, there is no true shared services initiative taking place on an international basis or a national basis that has not utilized a consultant with expertise in this area. So I would say that if we were to do the Hahn Amendment, we would actually be destroying the intent of the bill, and we would not be taking actual reform action this session. Thank you.
Further discussion on the Hahn motion to amend. A roll call has been requested. The secretary will take the roll. All senators voting that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 26 ayes and 38 nays, the motion is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 10. Senator Sinjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Bonhoff yield?
She will yield.
Senator Bonhoff, one of the things that I get, and I think maybe other members get on this bill, and maybe we're yet to truly understand how it's framed and how it might deal with these questions, but it's the whole thing of a smaller rural district wanting to support their community because their community supports them in so many ways, whether it's buying ads in the yearbook or for the athletic programs or a whole bunch of things like that. There's this feeling between a community and a school district which is very special and very important. And it would seem, at least as I read this, that some of that may be destroyed through this shared service and shared purchasing arrangement. Could you just comment on some of that?
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Sinjum, that was one of the first things I learned in bringing forward this initiative. We had a stakeholders meeting. Actually, Senator Olson did that with me, and we invited the various people to come before us, and that was probably the biggest concern we heard, was that we could hurt the local businesses and how important that was, particularly in the rural areas. And so that is why we, number one, when we began this, we actually said that you had to have an approved list of vendors, and then in order to be an exception, there had to be a waiver. We scrapped all of that. We made it much broader, and then we put in ways that you could get out of buying from one of the things that I had previously addressed, and one of them is a reasonable regional need justifies a purchase from another vendor. And so on line 2.4, a reasonable regional need justifies a purchase from another vendor. In addition, of course, we've said you get a lower price, which in many cases the local guy really is cheaper. But even if it's not, we still have put that forward so that that's all the local school district would have to say. We have a reasonable regional need. We don't even say in the bill they have to tell us what their reasonable regional need is. It is important that we respect the relationship that exists between businesses and the school districts. And in fact, before I had that exemption, the chamber wasn't even sure they were going to support this initiative. But with that exception, they have pledged their support for this bill.
Senator Corin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to stand up and be in opposition to this bill. You know, at a time when I see most of us here trying to relieve mandates, like Senator Lynch is trying to relieve mandates on counties, and now we're adding another mandate on our school districts. And I just think that that's the wrong way to go. And Senator Bonhoff just mentioned the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, and I'm looking at the letter that is on our desk, and I guess I'm really surprised. Well, I guess I'm not really surprised by the chamber. After the chamber, of course, supported raising the gas tax, I guess I'm not surprised by this letter. I thought this organization was pro-business, but I'm beginning to, well, I do have my doubts. So I hope members will vote against more mandates on our local school districts. I just think it's the wrong way to go.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of Senate File 10, and I just want to remind members that just last week the Senate leadership came out with targets in an attempt to try to balance the overall state budget in the next biennium. And one of the tasks for all of us is to figure out how we're going to make this budget, the next budget, work out. And this is a small, very small attempt at trying to save a few dollars. And I would characterize the attempt, the bill that Senator Bonhoff has, as being, as pushing the districts to try to save some extra dollars. And I think the handout that I saw on my desk was about $10 million. It's not huge, but it's real. And I think there's ways that our school districts can save money. If you'd have listened to the testimony in committee that Commissioner Badgerow gave, if you'd have listened to some of the other testimony, there is money to be saved out there, and we're going to have to turn every rock over. We're going to have to turn creative ideas into reality to try to make our districts weather this next two-year period. And it does mean difficult decisions on our part. It means relieving some of the mandates. It means trying something new. And if I think back a number of years ago, and probably more years than I'd like to think, we had a commission that was kind of a creative commission that didn't have a lot of money, but it tried to figure out ways to do things differently. And that's what we have to do this year. We have to figure out how can we do things differently. And I'm hoping that we'll be open to this and that we can move forward with a positive vote. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do join Senator Stumpf in rising in support of Senate File 10. You know, one can struggle with the word mandate, but while it's a requirement, I mean, this is one of the softest mandates that I think we could come up with. Most mandates are really quite prescriptive. This is not. It's just saying, you know, if we really believe in education, don't we want most of our resources going to the education of the students? And should we be wasting money if we can save it? It's just saying these are some of the structures and options that some of you are using and some of you are not, that have allowed people to save money. As Commissioner Badgerow said, there's no one that's got a better price for computers than they do have in the state contract. Now, there's only 113 school districts, I believe, is the number that are using any of the 800 contracts that are taking advantage of this free service. And we still have some over 300 school districts. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't buy locally. I doubt that there's too many computer stores in each of these small communities with school districts around the state. So there are places that our schools, regardless of their size, can find ways that will save money over what they're now spending and being able to put that into the classroom or save some of their local taxpayers' money by what may have to go on the property tax. So it may be small, but I think it's trying to challenge the thinking that are we doing the best we can with the resources that we have available? And if there's any punishment, it's got to be a wet noodle. We're not even requiring an audit, just saying that if you examine and decide that this is better than that, just make a note of it. Just make a note of what your rationale was. Put it on the invoice or in that file. Commissioner Badgerow isn't going to send out the shared service police to audit and look at everything that's going on. It's just saying, you're professionals, we trust you, but this is something that needs to be done. And I believe that Senator Bonhoeff has been very, very responsive in removing the ominous portions of that, responded to virtually every critique and group that has criticized it. And now it just seems to me that the word is that, you know, I don't want to have to do this. Well, we should. We're doing it personally. We should do it when we're dealing with the government resources, particularly when it means that more can be spent on the real mission of the schools, and that is educating our children.
Further discussion on Senate File 10. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 10 its third. I'm sorry, we're on general orders, members. No further discussion on Senate File 10. There has been a roll call requested. Are there three hands for a roll call? Seeing three hands, we will have a roll call. The Secretary will take the roll. All members voting that desire to vote. The secretary will close the roll. There being 31 ayes and 33 nays, the motion does not prevail.
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take up two more that should be relatively quick. Number 4, House File 56, and number 20, Senate File 740. I yield to Senator Fischbach.
Senator Fischbach, House File 56, number 4 on general orders.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, are we working off the Senate File 55 be recommended to pass? Oh, House File 55. I'm 56?
House File 56.
I'm sorry. House File 56. I was reading the board, and it was different.
Senator Fischbach, on that motion.
Mr. Chair, it's a very simple bill. There was a provision in the bonding bill last year that put some money for Central Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coordination Board in the bonding bill, and my understanding is that they were not able to accept that money. They're not an entity that can accept money, and it should have read originally Stearns County. So this simply changes that language to Stearns County so that they can accept the money. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 56. Seeing none on the Fischbach motion on House File 56. All in favor say aye. Opposed, motion does prevail. Senator Jungbauer, Senate File 740, number 20 on general orders.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 740 be recommended to pass.
Senator Jungbauer, on that motion.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate File 740 is a single project authorization for the Anoka County, along with the City of Ramsey, to use or potentially use design build best value contracting for a project for an overpass in the City of Ramsey. This particular overpass, members, is not on the list for MnDOT for 20 years, and yet the city and the county need to move an overpass through that area. The interesting part in terms of safety and health issues is as trains pass through along Highway 10 in the City of Ramsey, there is no way to get firefighters or police personnel across the train tracks when trains are moving through. There is no overpasses in the area currently, and all fire stations and police operations are north of the railroad tracks and Highway 10. So this would give Anoka County and the city that want to move this project ahead and want to try to utilize any potential funding they can do to actually build it themselves and, I guess, hope for some reimbursement down the road. This would give them a tool to be able to use that, and I'll stand for questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 740, Senator Vandeveer.
Is it Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair? Will Senator Jungbauer yield for a question?
He will yield.
Senator Jungbauer, how many contractors will be allowed to bid on this? And maybe a better question is how many won't, because it's design build best value.
Senator Jungbauer.
Well, Senator Vandeveer, this is modeled after some other proposals that we do with design build. In fact, this one uses a lot of language that Senator Murphy's bill for the city of Red Wing used. It's a two-step process. The first step, everybody can present their name in and their qualifications in to the pot, and then that pot is then narrowed down in the second step based on the qualifications. And the group that is put together to pick out those most qualified contractors will then determine the final amount of people that they will accept RFPs from.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Jungbauer, on the first round of bidding, any contractor will be able to bid on it. There won't be any restrictions.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Vandeveer. Currently, there are no restrictions in this bill on who can apply to become a qualified contractor to bid on the project.
Further discussion on Senate File 740? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Pogamiller, the
Chairman, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On that motion. Senator Pogamiller. On the motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the secretary be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I think Senator Ingebrigtsen has a motion. Mm-hmm.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I would move that Senate File 1585 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and that the urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File 1585 and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File 1585 its second and third reading and place it on in its final passage.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, would you explain your motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, the reason of the urgency of this bill is pretty straightforward. Most recently, we've been reading about and seeing in the media about a person from the St. Paul area, formerly known as Kathleen Celaya, now known as Sarah Jane Olson, was convicted of an act of terrorism in California. That particular act of terrorism consisted of making of bombs, actually planting bombs under squad cars, and the officers that were involved in the investigation back in the mid-70s stated that they had never seen such a bomb and done in such a professional manner, and if it would not have been located, not only would the officer, by moving the squad car, would have perished. Also, innocent bystanders, including young children, would have been involved in that particular case. And Celaya was accused of planting the bombs in an attempt to avenge the SLA members that were actually killed in a shootout with the Los Angeles Police Department earlier that year. She then was arrested and actually went into hiding. There was enough evidence in this particular case to charge her with this particular crime because her fingerprints were left at the scene. She went underground after being charged by a grand jury in 1976 for a period of 23 years, where she built a life here in St. Paul and was later, on March 13, 1999, and again in 1999, May 15th, she was profiled on America's Most Wanted and actually was, a tip was generated by the show and was arrested June 16, 1999. Celaya was then charged with conspiracy to commit murder, possession of explosives, explosion and attempt to ignite and explosive and attempt to murder. In October 31, 2001, Celaya, now Sarah Jane Olson, accepted a plea bargain and pled guilty to two counts of possessing explosives with intent to murder. As part of the plea bargain, the other charges were dropped. Mr. President, members, this woman was convicted and was sentenced to 25 years, where she has now completed her 7 years of prison in California, and she is slated to get out of prison, actually to perform her probation sometime this week, and that's why I am standing before you today asking for your support of this resolution. This is a simple, straightforward resolution asking the Governor of California, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, to keep Kathleen Celaya in California for the termination of her probation. The reason being is the law enforcement there certainly wanted her to stand trial there, but also to complete her whole sentence, and that would be probation included, as well as the St. Paul Police Department local law enforcement here in the state of Minnesota have risen to the occasion and said, yes, in fact, we should honor those officers in Los Angeles, as well as the ones that always get forgotten in these cases, and that's the victims. In my 35 years in law enforcement, so often, Mr. President and members, we forget about the victims, and we should not be doing that. We have an opportunity here to send a message that our men and women in uniform have our support when it comes to not only just general crime, and there are some very serious crimes that happen to our state, but an act of terrorism rises above the level of most all of those other crimes. And I personally had a family that was targeted by domestic terrorism in the early 1990s in my jurisdiction, where the first and only conviction of biological terrorism actually occurred in this state. So I know those family members. I know them very well. I know the fear that they lived in. Their house was actually targeted on a map by the particular members that we were able to apprehend and catch. So these are very cowardly acts, folks, very cowardly. And we should really be sending this message to the authorities in California that we honor their request out there. So let's do the right thing. Let's show the law enforcement that they truly support. We support them and vote yes on this fast track. And I stand for any questions.
Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill has been referred to the Judiciary Committee. We'll give it the hearing. It's an important issue, and I think the committee members will give it its full attention. So I would ask you not to support the motion.
Senator Lemmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think your decision to bring this up at this time is certainly valid and important to the people of Minnesota. Mr. President, I move to impose a call of the Senate. The Senate is under call.
Senator Lemmer, this is for the balance of this resolution.
That's correct, Mr. President, and I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispersed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in absent members. I also would like to ask for a roll call vote on this motion.
One at a time, Senator Lemmer. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed, motion does prevail. Senator Lemmer, on your next motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also would like to impose a roll call on the Ingebrigtsen motion.
Are there three hands for a... No, okay. There will be a roll call. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to divide the motion. I believe there's a motion Senator Ingebrigtsen is moving to withdraw from committee and then to declare an urgency. I'd like to move that we divide it and take up the withdrawal from committee as the first vote.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, Senator Pogemiller has moved to divide the amendment, since the motion is yours, it is your option on which to vote on first. Senator Pogemiller, on your motion, if we pull it from committee, we have to designate a place. I assume that you want it placed on the table on the floor of the Senate. Okay.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think it only takes 34 votes to get it out of committee, and then to declare an emergency would take a larger number.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, could you explain a little better about if they pull it off the table, Senator Pogemiller did not make the motion to lay it on the table. He made the motion to divide the amendment, or divide the motion, I'm sorry.
Senator Fischbach, when you pull a bill from committee, there has to be a designated spot.
Mr. Chair, is the motion divisible?
The motion is divisible.
I'll withdraw that division. It seems like I've talked with the author, and that probably the easiest way to proceed would be just to vote on the overall motion now.
Senator Pogemiller has withdrawn the division. Further discussion, Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair, if I wasn't clear earlier, let me say that the Judiciary Committee works very hard, and the bill is in the committee. Whether it's on this bill or any other bill, I would object to anybody trying to pull a bill out of the policy committee. Senator Limmer, Senator Ortman, Senator Pearsall are valuable members of the Judiciary Committee, and we will give this a hearing. So I would object to the motion to withdraw the bill from the committee.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to discuss it any further. I just want to talk about the emergence, you know, the immediacy of this. The person's going to be released within this week. So, you know, that's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm insisting that we do it rounds.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wasn't going to say anything about this motion, but since my name was just mentioned, Senator Moy, you and I both have a great amount of respect for one another, but right now I respectfully disagree and think that this issue should come before the Senate at this time.
On the Ingebrigtsen motion, Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was wondering if Senator Ingebrigtsen would yield.
He will yield.
Thank you. Just a quick question on the motion, Senator Ingebrigtsen. How much money will this save the state of Minnesota if we do this resolution?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question. That was in the discussions, at least my thoughts on this. But there is a compact. I don't know if everybody understands that, but there's a 50-state compact that agrees upon, basically an agreement upon governors that they will take prisoners back into their jurisdiction, and there's also a compact with regards to expending dollars for probation and parole. So in other words, we would pay for it on this end. However, if we were to do the same to California, they would be expected to pay for it on their end. So there really isn't any financial implications here whatsoever.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I appreciate the answer, because I think that goes to the question of immediacy. Seems to me, Mr. President, that we have an immediate crisis with Minnesota's economy and our budget deficit. I think if it is at least questionable whether this resolution will save Minnesota any money and help towards solving the Minnesota budget deficit, I think we have more immediate concerns. In fact, Senator Ingebrigtsen indicated that he didn't feel it would save Minnesota any money. I think the real immediacy, Mr. President, is that we need to deal with Minnesota's budget crisis. And that is the most urgent pressing form of business we have before us.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
One more comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I don't want to belabor this, but we talked about how busy we are here and how important our business is. And we're talking about funding gorilla museums and polar bear museums. At the very least, members, we could stand up for our uniformed officers and send a message that we do support them. They are out there day and night on the lines protecting you and I. It's a simple resolution asking the governor to reconsider sending it to Minnesota. That's all it is. And it's going to mean a lot to those in uniform. Thank you.
Senator Sinjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd like to rise in support of Senator Ingebrigtsen's motion here and his proposal. I think it's reasonable. It's certainly timely. The idea that we'd hold it over for committee, insofar as I'm aware, this all happens tomorrow. And so I think it's important that this message get out certainly today. And then what about the message? And I think the good Senator Ingebrigtsen pointed this out. What do we stand for as people? Law and order, certainly. The notion that we would easily forgive someone who, yes, 25 or so years ago, decided that it might be a good idea to blow up some police officers, and maybe in the process, that was our motive probably, but also involved perhaps kids. We don't know that, but that is something terribly troubling. And so as we try to send messages from this House, Mr. President, in terms of where we are and where we're going as a legislature and what we're going to do this year, I think it's important that we pause for a moment and take light of this resolution and ask ourselves, what do we think? What do we think about this individual and what she did? And are we willing at this point to forgive? I think that this person, at least for the immediate future, belongs in California. That's where she committed her crime. I think that's where she ought to, conclude her sentence. And I would urge strongly the support of this body for the good senator's resolution.
Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Sinjum, it seems to me you bring up a point that this is about, even though you haven't emphasized it very well, I don't think. But this is a person who, committed a crime a long time ago. She's gone to prison. She's paid her public debt. To me, this is a question about whether or not we are willing to forgive. It's a question about whether or not we're willing to implement a little reconciliation. So, I realize that reconciliation at the dinner table has always been something of a scandal, but it seems to me that that's exactly what this vote is about. I would urge you to vote this thing down. This is a vote in favor of forgiveness and reconciliation. Thank you very much.
Members, we are getting off on the merits of the legislation, and Senator Ingebrigtsen's motion is what we are talking about here, and that is a motion to move a bill from committee to the Senate floor and declare an emergency. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, a roll call has been requested. The secretary will take the roll. All senators voting that desire to vote. The secretary will close the roll. There being 20 ayes and 24 nays, I'm sorry, 44 nays, the motion does not prevail. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, is there any other work at the desk?
Senator Pogamiller, we do have one point of personal privilege. Senator Coring, state your point of personal privilege.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Today is actually a special day, and this is on a lighter note, so we can lighten things. That was kind of difficult. Today's a special day. I want to talk a little bit about my seatmate, who I've actually had the pleasure of sitting with for a little over 6 years. He was a county commissioner. He was a champion calf roper. He's a farmer. He's a doctor of veterinary medicine, and he's a senator, and on the seventh day he rested. But but actually today is his birthday, and I just wanted to recognize that because I think he's a pretty awesome guy, and I would just hope everybody else would recognize him on his 64th birthday, Senator Steve Dill.
Happy birthday, Senator Dill. Senator Betzel, can we read the excuses now? Okay. Excused all day, Pappas, Bach, Ortman from 11 to 125. Senator Scheid, 11 to 1120. Senator Gerlach, 145 through the end of session. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, the State Government Budget Division meeting for today is canceled. The agenda will be moved to a later date. The Budget Division meeting is canceled.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to call to members' attention the yellow sheet that they got from the Legislative Audit Commission. You have until March 19th to give the Topic Selection Subcommittee your suggestions for program evaluations for the coming year. Following that, we will whittle the number down and then submit them for a vote by the House and the Senate to guide the actions of the Legislative Audit Commission this session. And the State Government Policy Committee will meet at 3 o'clock.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee will meet immediately after session until its regularly scheduled time at 2:45 so that we can begin testimony on the Clean Cars Bill. However, we will not be able to take a vote on it today.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee will begin meeting immediately, and we will only meet till 2:45 or 3, but we will continue at 5:30 tonight.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, the Jobs and Industry Committee will meet immediately after session, and we'd like to move fast if we can avoid tonight's meeting, but I don't know. But get there in a hurry at Jobs Committee.
Senator Tomassoni.
Mr. President, the Committee on Economic Development will be leaving from the Capitol at 3:15 to go out to Carver County to hold our meeting out there today.
Senator Sinjum, you had an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the Majority Leader yield for just a minute?
Senator Pogamiller will yield.
Senator Pogamiller, first I just want to comment publicly because we have for some number of weeks been talking on this floor about targets, and you certainly brought those forward last week, and we may, generally speaking, not agree with them, but nonetheless, the targets are now on the table, and we can go forward at least with the grand discussion. Now, what I'm wondering though is beyond this, beyond your more public announcement, will these targets be moving through Rules Committee or through Finance Committee, or how do these get to the floor at this point, or and then when would that be, or is that all yet undecided?
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, Senator Sinjum, as you know, we've been in Rules Committee. We dealt with the joint rules already, and it is my intent to deal with the permanent rules of the Senate. And as you know, I would like to make adjustments to Rule 7, and so we would have that discussion in the Rules Committee.
Senator St. John.
So thank you, Mr. President. And so, Mr. Majority Leader, as we move forward then, will most of the discussion on targets, at least from the standpoint of what you present, occur in Rules Committee or Finance, or how does that work, or is it fairly flexible, at least in terms of how you move forward?
Senator Mr. President, Senator Senjum, as members of the Senate, I think, are aware, Rule 7 doesn't actually even call for targets. It calls for kind of general numbers. And we know that the rule has not been very effective over the last few years. And so I think what the Rules Committee will be discussing is something that more effectuates a meaningful discussion of the targets and so forth. And so I'm not quite sure what the next proposal would be, but I have some ideas on the rule, as you know, and that's kind of what I was hoping to process, and I'm certainly open to members of the Senate coming up with potential rules, different Rule 7s.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, we're going to adjourn till Wednesday at 11 a.m., and that'll be to process paper. And I believe Thursday will also be a short session. And so what I'm going to suggest to the chairs who have those 12:30 committee meetings, we'll send out an email and suggest that you might want to start earlier than 12:30 on Wednesdays and Thursday to make up for your lost time today. So that's just a suggestion, but that might be something that could help the committees a little. So I'm not announcing that right now. I'm suggesting to those chairs that they consider meeting earlier than 12:30 on Wednesday or Thursday. Mr. President, I move that the Senate adjourn to March 18th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion done.